The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday morning. It's a beautiful morning here in Texarkana, Texas. Well, I wanted to let you know that a couple of things. This weekend, we are welcoming Kenza Haddock to First Baptist Texarkana. She's going to be here Sunday night at 6 o'clock, sharing her amazing testimony of how she escaped, literally escaped Islam, and became a Christian and had to separate from her family who wanted to kidnap her and even kill her because she defected from the Muslim religion. And Kenza has been a guest on our program on a couple of occasions, and really looking forward to having her. So if you live anywhere near the Texarkana area, come and join us, First Baptist Texarkana, here in Texarkana, Texas, for Sunday night at 6 o'clock for Kenza Haddock. Also, if you live anywhere near Conroe, Texas, I'm going to be in Conroe at Mims Baptist Church with Dr. Jerry Chaddick, the pastor there, and a series of meetings they're having this next week. So I'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at lunch. We're having a luncheon and a Bible study, and I'll be preaching those 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Conroe Mims Baptist Church. Love to have you there if you are in the neighborhood of Conroe, Texas. It'd be a joy for me to get to meet you. Well, let me ask you this question. When's the last time you read the Psalms? I have made it a point to read Psalms every single day, and I became a Christian when I was 17, and now I'm at the young age of 63. So, you know, if you read five Psalms a day, along with a proverb a day, every month you go through Psalms and Proverbs. Now, granted, when you hit Psalm 119, it's a little tough because there are a lot of verses in Psalm 119. But I wanted to read to you from Psalm 16, a great psalm. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever. Well, my daughter Amy asked me the other day, I guess a couple of weeks ago, about somebody that she really likes, and she does her studies, somebody from her old church, First Baptist, in Houston there, First Houston, and or Houston's First, as they call it. And she said, Dad, you need to get Susanna Baker on your radio program. She does these great Bible studies. And so I did some research on Susanna Baker, and she loves the Psalms. She has various studies, and one of those studies is called Rebuild, Connecting to God Through the Psalms. And I love what Susanna Baker says about the Psalms. She calls them the medicine cabinet of the Bible. And I've never heard that before, and I thought, that is so cool, and that is so true. So Susanna is on with me today. Susanna, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's such a joy to have you, and just to let our listeners know, Susanna Baker is a writer, Bible study teacher, and founder of Restore Retreats for Women. She's the author of the book, Restore, Remembering Life's Hurts with the God Who Rebuilds, and multiple Bible studies, including Rebuild, Connecting to God Through the Psalms. And then also her newest devotional, Known, a devotional for moms on Psalm 139. And Susanna has her degree from Texas A&M University and is working on her master's in counseling with Concordia University, Irvine. She and her husband, Jason, live in the Houston, Texas area with their four girls. And most days you can find her driving, carpool, checking homework, solving a clothing crisis, or riding while drinking another cup of coffee whenever she gets the chance. Okay, so I don't know if you heard the news at the top of the hour, but Texas A&M's president had to resign because
yes.
I guess he was caught lying about that student.
Yes, yes. We were actually, my husband and I both graduated from A&M, and we were talking about it last night when he read that news. So our oldest daughter is actually a freshman at A&M this year.
Is that right?
So,
yeah.
Yes.
I was following the story a little bit, and then the president said, well, we're getting rid of that professor or whatever, but then somebody was saying, you knew about this, and now you're backtracking. So I haven't looked into that yet. But that's just an aside, since you're an Aggie. I thought
yes.
I'd ask you about
yes.
that.
Yes.
So Susanna,
truth is always good. We're always glad when truth comes
yes,
out.
Yes, that's
told.
Right. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your background and how you started Restore and just the desire to write and your love for the Psalms, because you and I share that same love. And I as I said, I love that that designation of the Psalms as the medicine cabinet of the Bible. So how did you get your start with writing and doing these Bible studies?
So I actually started, I taught my first Bible study when I was a student at Texas A&M. And I actually, my junior year of college, went to Wheaton College. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to take some classes in theology and kind of ministry and kind of soul care. And so I spent that year just really growing and learning with some tremendous professors at Wheaton, suburb of Chicago. And when I came back my senior year to A&M, I wanted to just share some of the things that I had learned. So I gathered a group of about 10 to 15 girls in my college apartment, and we would worship and pray, and I would teach, and God just started doing something in the hearts, my heart, and in the hearts of those women. And then when I graduated and moved back to Houston, I just continued. My husband and I taught in a singles class at the Second Baptist Church together for a number of years. And then we taught Sunday school at First Baptist or Houston's First. And I just, through the years, off and on now, for, 25 years, taught women's Bible studies and led retreats. So that's kind of how I started teaching.
Yeah.
And then people would say, hey, can I get a copy of that Bible study? And so I, spent hundreds of dollars at Office Depot and finally was like, you know what? Let me try to put this in printed form.
Yes.
So.
Well, very good.
Yes, that's how that started.
Okay. So when you approach a project, Susanna, do you look at it from the standpoint of a book, workbook, video, I'm doing the whole thing at once, or was it, I'm going to write a book, and then, people could study this, and so I'll write a study guide that goes along with that. How do you look at it? Do you look at it as a big whole? I want to do everything at one shot?
You know, I it's kind of grown out of, my first studies were written really like, all of my studies and books have been, what is God doing in me? And then what are people around me needing, and mm-hmm. how do those two intersect or collide? And so sometimes it takes the form of a study. Sometimes it's just too much to say in a study. So there's a book that needs to be written first. And then I kind of, my book is really my story, and our youngest we adopted from China. So it's really my story and her story. And then the Bible study part is people's opportunity to take their own journey with God. Mm-hmm. Through restoration or through the Psalms or through prayer. So it kind of just depends on how do I feel like the need in front of me and the process that God has done in me, what's the best way of expressing that? Is that a book? Is that a Bible study? Is that teaching? Mm-hmm. So it kind of looks a little different each project.
Okay, so what's the story about the adoption from China?
Yes, yeah, so we have our oldest, so we have four girls, and our oldest three are biological. And I actually wanted to adopt starting when I was in college. I wanted to adopt internationally, then met my husband, got married, and he didn't necessarily feel that way. Which is a lot of times how it is. I feel like the adoption piece always, or a lot of times will start with the woman. So I just started praying that if we were to adopt, God would change his heart. And we started trying to have a family, and I had several miscarriages. And by God's perfect design and providence, he introduced this family to us from Chicago. They had four biological kids and were in the process of adopting from China. And as they told us their story, at the end, Jason looked at me and he's like, "So when do we adopt? Like, I want to do this." And it's God just changed his heart in a moment. And so we started the process of adopting. I got pregnant with our oldest, started the process again, got pregnant with our second, had our third. And finally, both of us were like, okay, for real, we feel like God is calling us to do this. So we applied for, it took us about 2.5 years from start to finish to bring her home from Guangzhou, China. Mm-hmm. And she is an amazing, she's now 11. She was 17 months when we adopted her. And she is such a gift to our family.
Yeah. So she was in an orphanage, or where was she?
She was. She was in a government-run orphanage outside Guangzhou, kind of on the rural outskirts. Mm-hmm. And Guangzhou is a city of like about 11 million, maybe as many as 19 million people, close to Hong Kong.
Wow. Well, yeah. Has she become a Christian?
You know, she has prayed to receive Christ. She did about a year ago, and mm-hmm. we're going through the process of really baptism and making sure she understands that she wants to be baptized.
Sure.
And so that's been such a huge answer to prayer and blessing for us.
Well, we have an adopted daughter in our family. My oldest daughter, Jill, and Jay adopted Lyndon from birth, from Louisiana, and she's been such a blessing. It's really, really cool. And, you know, when you have a daughter or a son that's adopted from, Lyndon is black and your daughter's Chinese. And so everybody knows, mm-hmm. okay, this is an adopted mm-hmm. child. How does your daughter deal with the challenge? Maybe, people asking questions, things like that, of being adopted.
You know, she is becoming, the older she's become, the more aware she's become. And I feel like it's just something she works through. I think with adopted children, there's always a sense of grief about their biological family and not knowing them, especially in her case. We don't know anything about her biological family. They dropped her off at this orphanage when she was 4 days old. And that presents a lot of grief for her. But it's something we talk about quite a bit. It's something that we actually are working through with counseling right now. Our church has an amazing counseling center for adoptive and foster families and kinder families, which is incredible. So I think a lot of it's just, you know, it's hard for her that she's the only person in our family who looks like she does. And I mm-hmm. wish that we had another adopted kid that looks like her too, but so it's just something we talk about and we work through, and she has to learn, you know, it's always a learning process of how mm-hmm. to deal with that grief for her.
Yeah.
But she's a good sport about it.
How did the other girls handle that?
They adore her. And it's funny, like, we don't even, it's like, it doesn't cross our mind that she looks different. She's just Mia Grace. She's our fourth. And they just, she's the baby of the family. She's the little sister. And so I feel like it weighs on her more than it does us. But she's like the honey in our family. She's just the sweetness that we all just love.
How wonderful. Well, we're talking to author and speaker, Susanna Baker, and we're talking about the Psalms. We're going to get into the Psalms. She has a number of resources, but I love the idea that you can rebuild and restore and connect to God and heal through the Psalms, because the Psalms is, as Susanna says, the medicine cabinet of the Bible. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I'm talking to Susanna Baker, and Susanna is a writer and a speaker and has a women's ministry called Restore. And she is like me in that she gets so much encouragement, strength, and help from the Psalms. And so, Susanna, I want to go into to your book, Rebuild, Connecting to God Through the Psalms. Just from the title, that would make me think, okay, if my life has been shattered through outside circumstances, or maybe I blew it up myself, I made selfish choices, and now I'm experiencing the aftermath of that, how do I rebuild, and how do the Psalms help me do that?
Such a great question. And I, you know, my love for the Psalms really grew out of a shattered place in my own life. When we adopted our youngest daughter from China and brought her home, I had struggled with depression off and on since I was a teenager, but I just hit a level of depression and anxiety that I had never before experienced. And I didn't sleep for about 6 months. And my heart would race. And through that, I started going to counseling and once a week. And I made a commitment to go for a year. And I started praying and studying the Psalms. And I started in Psalm 1:1 and just slowly made my way through the help of Tim Keller's devotional on the Psalms, through Derek Kidner's commentaries. And I would just read a portion, study, and then I would start praying it. Because, you know, it's one thing to study something, but it's another thing to really meditate on it and apply it to the lens of your life. And I think I was stuck for so many years seeing my life through a lens of rejection, hurt, kind of a victim mentality. And when I finally hit that place, when we brought our daughter home, it was this, okay, no more. I don't want to see my life through this lens anymore. And there's a verse in Psalm 25 and Psalm 26 that really became kind of my battle cry, that everything I wanted to see through the lens of the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord, and that I would walk in his faithfulness. And so every hard thing that had happened to me, every memory or every emotion, I wanted to process through the lens of his faithful love. And that takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of work. But at some point, I think God allows these hard things in our life so that we change, you know, like, cause the fact about humans is we're not going to change unless we have to a lot of times. And so that crisis of depression and anxiety for me is what really propelled me into seeing my story through a different lens. And that's what the book of Psalms helps us do. So many of them start with lament and where are you, oh God, and why, and why have you forsaken me? But they end with this place of resolute trust in the Lord. And it just, there's this shift that happens, you know, throughout as we start being honest with our story and where we are and pour our hearts out and then listen and hear back what he has to say through the lens of truth. And it's not a quick fix. It's slowly but surely. And that's what I saw in my own heart with the Psalms. Yeah. And so it took me about 5 years to from Psalm 1:1 to the end of Psalm 150. And then when I finished, I incorporate a reading of the Psalms in my devotional time every morning. That they just help me see my life through the lens of the love of the Lord.
Amen. Well, I preached a sermon from Psalm 13, When God Feels a Million Miles Away, and it's exactly what you said. So it's a short little psalm, 6 verses. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? All those questions, and God feels like, man, he's dumped me in the ditch or something, but that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And then he says, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And that is a good little summation of the Psalms. You share your heart. Psalm 62, verse 8, Suzanne, is one of my favorites. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He's a safe place. And so, so as you're studying, Psalms is a big book, 150 chapters. How do you condense that down into a 9-week study?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I actually took it from the approach of some things I learned through the adoption process and helping Mia Grace, our youngest daughter. Because when you adopt a child or receive a child into your home from a hard place, you know, from an orphanage, from a foster care family situation, all of knowledge in life starts with a foundation of sensory knowledge. So if you want to help a child repair, you start with their senses. And so like in the orphanage, there was one night nurse for every 50 babies. So she learned from 4 days old that if she cries out, no one's going to come help her. She is on her own to get through life. And so we had to sensorily help her learn, when you cry out, we will come. We will answer. Mm-hmm. You know, when you fall down and hurt yourself, we're here to help you. You're not on your own anymore. Mm-hmm. When babies, you know, as a mom, you automatically, like, I can see a baby from across the room and I start kind of like doing this rocking motion, because that's how you spend most of your life, that first year. And when you're doing that, it's putting vestibular fluid into motion in their ears that gives them a sense of balance for the rest of their life. So Mia Grace wasn't rocked or held like that. So therefore, when we got her at 17 months, she could barely crawl and she wasn't walking. And so finally, when she was about 2.5, she started to walk. But she had to like get down and scoot over thresholds that were an inch high. It's because that sensory motion of touch and rocking hadn't been activated in her. Mm. So when you start with repair, you start with the senses. And it was amazing to me. We would go into occupational therapy and you know, they would squish her with pillows and she'd play with rice and she'd swing on a swing. And she would come out and she was silent, like pretty much for the first 6 months we had her home. But after occupational therapy, after really working with her senses, we'd come out and she'd say, "Hey, mommy, I'm hungry. Can I have a snack?" And I was like, whoa. You know, that sensory knowledge would trigger verbal. It would trigger, you know, the intellectual, trigger emotional, everything else. And so I saw myself in Mia Grace, because while the act of adoption took a moment for her, learning to become a daughter, learning to become secure, learning to call out, learning to receive comfort, learning to eat what we put in front of her and digest healthy food, learning to walk and have confidence, that will take a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I saw myself in her, and that the act of salvation, when we receive Christ as Savior and Lord, it happens in a moment, right? We can't lose that. Right. But the process of learning how to become a daughter or a son takes a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And the Psalms for me they started to come alive when I was working through this with Mia Grace in the physical realm. I saw myself in the spiritual realm through the Psalms. And the Psalms are full of sensory language, right? David or the sons of Asaph are crying out to the Lord and then being comforted when God comes. The word secure, you read Psalm 16 at the start of the hour, you know, that word secure is all through the Psalms, that he makes our steps secure. And the word for knowledge in Hebrew, yada, the root word comes from the Hebrew word for hand, which is yad. So the way that God knows us is wrapped up in the touch of his hands. It's a very sensory knowledge. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to sit in the rocking chair, so to speak, with the Lord, when we begin to really eat the meal that he puts in front of us, when we begin to respond to his voice, everything starts to change. Mm-hmm. But we have to really trust, I have a good father who's here to take care of me. I'm not on my own anymore. And so when I sat down to write this study, because you're right, there are 150 Psalms, I was like, I wanted to write them and categorize them through the lens of the senses. Mm-hmm. So I talk about how do we become secure in our scent with the Lord? How do we become secure with touch? How do we become secure with sight? How do we become secure with our hearing? And taking things I learned with Mia Grace in the physical realm and then applying them spiritually speaking to the Psalms and how God builds us in that identity as children in the spiritual realm. And then I have a couple weeks at the end, one specifically dedicated to lament, because lament is such a helpful and necessary tool when we go to restore and connect with God and pray. Mm-hmm. And then praise. You know, we often start with lament, but the goal, the end goal of the Psalms is praise. Mm-hmm. So we don't, you know, often start, sometimes we don't start there, but that's where we want to. That's where we want to end up.
Right, right.
So that's kind of how I categorized the study, with through the senses and then through lament and praise.
Okay, so Susanna, do you deal with in that book? Do you deal with in the imprecatory psalms?
Yes, yes. Some of that, like in the lament, we touch on that Psalm 143, Psalm 139. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I think some people do struggle. You know. When they're talking, the exiles are talking about Babylon, how blessed will be the one who takes and dashes your little ones against a rock. Mm-hmm. You know, enemies of Christianity, they like to use those verses and say, see, this is what your book says, and try and lump us together with the Muslims or something like that. How do you handle the understanding of the retaliation imprecatory psalms?
So Derek Kidner is a commentator on the Psalms who has really helped me. And one thing he says, he said, you know, the important thing to note about, let's just take David. When David is saying, I hope, let's dash their little ones against the rocks, or he is saying these things to God. And I think that's a really important distinction, and that because there are times in our lives where we hurt deeply. And if we've never felt like Miroslav Volf, who was a pastor in Croatia and Bosnia and saw horrible atrocities to his people, and he wrote in Exclusion and Embrace. And, you know, if we never feel like I want to take vengeance on that person, it's probably because we've never really experienced persecution or hurt like so much of the church has. Mm-hmm. And so many people in the world, when people come in and rape your women and kill your children. But the important distinction is, you know, Romans makes this very clear. We are never to take justice into our own hands. There is only one judge, and we are not him. But God does allow us to say things to him that maybe we can't say to anyone else. We are to, like you said in Psalm 62, pour out our hearts to him. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing off limits to say. We can say it right. All. Like, I'm mad. I'm angry. But then we leave it in his hands.
Right.
And where the Old Testament stops at, you know, a certain point, the New Testament makes it clear. We're not to just pour out our emotions. The goal is we're to forgive our enemies. We're to love them. We are to pray for them. Mm-hmm. And so we have to take imprecatory psalms within the context of the New Testament as well. But I think that was a really helpful thing for me to know whatever I needed to say, I could say to God. Mm-hmm. He's not like offended by my emotions or by my questions or by my hurt, you know, But the important thing is it's to him. It's not on social media. It's not to my neighbor. It's not to my, it's to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Let me ask you about the depression. I did a program yesterday talking about demons and mental illness. You know, we hear so much about mental illness today. Nobody talked about mental illness in the New Testament. They talked about my son is cruelly demon possessed or whatever. In today's world, we don't like to connect demonic to people that are schizophrenic or whatever. And I'm not saying every schizophrenic is demon possessed, but I think the devil is very involved and the demons are very involved with people having these suicidal thoughts and murderous thoughts and you're pumping people full of drugs and we don't know necessarily all the side effects and how those things work together. Why do you think you got so depressed?
Well, it's a great question. So I think that, you know, I'm actually in my program right now with getting my master's in counseling. We were actually studying this past week, but you know, what causes anxiety? What causes depression? What causes what you would call sometimes neurodivergent disorders in people neurodivergent in the brain, neurodivergence in the brain. And I think it's multifaceted. You know, Tim Keller, I love his short devotional book on the Psalms and the Proverbs, but he said, you know, we can't reduce depression or anxiety to a simple solution like just take a pill or just read your Bible more.
Right.
It's multifaceted. You know, we're physical people. So sometimes my depression, I think, was my great grandmother studied. Struggle with depression, as did my grandmother. Like, it's in my biology, but it also came from certain strongholds and sin in my life and certain decisions I was making. It also came from my family environment and some struggles in my parents' marriage. So it was multifaceted. So my approach to healing from depression had to be multifaceted as well.
Very good. Well, we're talking to author and speaker Susanna Baker, and she's written a book called Rebuild, Connecting to God Through the Psalms, along with Restore, another book, and Known, her newest book about motherhood, study of Psalm 139. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after the break.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Want to remind you, I'm going to be in Conroe, Texas, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for their lunch Bible conference that they're having at Mims Baptist Church. Dr. Jerry Chaddick is the pastor. I'm looking forward to that. And when he contacted me, he had asked me before to come and it didn't work out. And so he contacted me several weeks ago and said, what about this? And I said, well, Jerry, let me tell you something. You have something going for you. And that is that you're 20 minutes away from my daughter and my three grandsons. And so that makes me want to move heaven and earth to come so that I can see those little boys. They have captured my heart for sure. So love to see you. If you're in the Conroe area, come by one of those days or all those days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That's this next week coming up at Mims Baptist Church. Well, we're talking to writer, author, speaker, writer, author. Those are the same. Sorry. We're talking to Susanna Baker, and we're talking about her books and her love for the Psalms. And we're going to open the phone lines in this segment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, can be on what we're talking about, or if you just have something burning in your heart that you'd like to ask, you can do that too. And Susanna, we were talking at the break. One of the great things about the book of Psalms, it's a book of songs, but it's also a book of prayers. And so how do the Psalms affect us in the realm of prayer?
It's such a great question. And I when I really started to see a change in my own life is not when I just started to read or study the Psalms, but actually pray the Psalms. And something I learned again with our youngest daughter, Mia Grace, is that when someone comes from a place of what they call insecure attachment, where their primary relationship with their parents or primary caretakers was really difficult and for her non-existent, you want to help them move to a place of secure attachment. And the way that you do that is you tell your story to an empathetic listener who invites you to hear it through a different lens. And in that process, new neural networks are built in your brain. And so, you know, as we were doing that with her, I started learning that that's what prayer is. It's telling your story, the details of your life and your day, to an empathetic listener who is the Lord, your Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And then He invites you to hear it back through the lens of His Word. And that happens through prayer. And so part of this Bible study, the main part really at the end, is I have these 7 steps of prayer every day where it's helping you learn, how do we show up honestly before the face of God? C.S. Lewis says, let it be the real me who prays to the real you. Because as long as we're keeping parts of our hearts in the dark or not being honest, God can't, he's like, show up as you really are. And then I can change that. We can work with that, you know?
Right.
So this prayer is just helping us tell our stories honestly to God, repent of the lies that we're believing or the ways that we're living, not according to His Word, and then replacing it with the truth. And just getting into that rhythm of no matter what, where you're reading in God's Word, that's what you're doing. And then that's what starts to change us. It literally change our brains from the inside out.
Amen to that. Well, you know, truth is critical. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You're never going to get set free with lies. And Suzanne, I talk a lot on the program about the transgender insanity. I feel for those people that have been told lies. We played a clip yesterday from Jordan Peterson where he was talking about a Disney executive had 2 children, 5 and 7. And she said, one of my children is transgender and the other is pansexual. And he said, well, the mathematical odds for that would be astronomical. But the odds that you are poisoning your kids are like a zillion to one. You're the one that's doing this. A 5-year-old doesn't even know what a pansexual is. I mean, I'm 63. I don't know what that is. And so I know you have a heart for moms. Your latest book, Known, is about motherhood. We have a lot of moms today, I think, because of social media and the desire, this narcissistic desire for people to talk about you, like you, you know, click, share your views or whatever. Too many women are poisoning their kids with lies and with the lies of the culture. How do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, scripture is so clear that our heart, wherever our gaze is directed, our heart will follow. I mean, just look at Eve. She saw, she took, she ate. You know, it starts with where you're looking. And with social media and all that's out there, we are a people of, I mean, just overwhelming images. And I can trace the fruit in my life if I'm being narcissistic, if I'm envious, if I'm anxious, I can usually trace it directly back to the place where I have been looking. Mm. And so I think as women, we have to be so zealous about where are we looking? Do we need to delete that social media app? Mm-hmm. Do we need to spend more time looking into the Word of God, more time looking into the little lives that we have that we're shaping around us? And then being zealous about what we allow our children to look at too. Mm-hmm. You know, life is not Disney. It is just not. And so being really careful about feeding their minds and putting images before them that it's not about fantasy, about seeing what's unreal. It's about helping them see what's unseen. Mm-hmm. That God is on his throne. He is high and lifted up. And it matters where we look and what we look at. But it's hard. And it takes constant vigilance for us and for our kids.
Well, it's parenting, as James Dobson wrote, parenting isn't for cowards. It's very, very difficult. It's more difficult for you raising kids than it was for me raising kids, because there are just more temptations that are out there, you know, as close as your cell phone. And the I feel for stay-at-home moms. I think that being a stay-at-home mom is the hardest job on the planet. Now, being a working mom is also extremely difficult because your heart is torn. When you're at work, you want to be home. When you're home, you're thinking about work, and it's hard for a woman to do that. But what would be your encouragement, just in a couple minutes before we go to the phones, an encouragement for a mom who just feels overwhelmed? My daughter, Amy, has a 4-year-old Jack, 2-year-old Chase, and then 6-month-old Drew. It is exhausting and overwhelming to corral those three little guys. What would be your words for a mom like that?
You know, I think that I look back on just that physical exhaustion when your kids are young that you feel. And now with teenagers, there's an emotional exhaustion that happens. And so I think for moms with little ones or moms with teenagers, you know, research shows that the most important thing that we can do as moms to help our kids around us is to make sense of our own stories. And as we do that, we start relating and showing up for our kids in ways that are healthy and helpful and help them make sense of their stories too. So I think that, that the way that I start making sense of my story is by that time with the Lord every day. And it's just showing up, even if you don't feel like it, even if you're tired, even if you have to say no to something fun or something else, or showing up. Don't underestimate the power of showing up with the Lord and spending time in his word and spending time in prayer and developing that rhythm and that discipline in your life, because that's how you're going to make sense of your story. And then that's how you're going to be able to show up for your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think a lot of moms too, they feel like they're just, it's like, how do I have a quiet time? My kids get up at 6 a.m. And then I'm just, when they go to bed, I just want to go to bed. And now my husband is interested in me physically, which is normal. But I feel for moms that just feel spread so thin, and then they get on edge. And it's just, we tell it's Amy hard. All the time, it's a season of life. And it's just, hey, if I'm you, I'm struggling too. There's no easy fix. So, well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Brenda on the line from Oklahoma. Brenda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning. Go ahead.
I so appreciate what you and your lady there is talking about, schizophrenia and demonic oppression. I myself lived it personally. I became a guardian of my mother, who is mentally deficient and called paranoid schizophrenia, when I was, 9 years old. And I had to take care of her when I was 20, still finishing college. And while she lived with me for 3 months, I had a constant prayer group pray over her just about every day. And finally, when we came around her to hold her hands and touch her and pray over her, and I didn't have my own voice and called himself pharmakia, because my poor mother had been used in drug experiments over decades. Mm. And heard that sound and rebuked him in the name of Jesus for God's healing deliverance. And I know it happened.
Mm.
I can tell you that I was terrified when she first moved in with me, because nightly I could hear multiple voices coming from her bedroom, men's voices, who were trying to overpower me in our home. And I had to just daily rebuke Satan by the blood of the Lamb and ask for God's intervention to keep me mentally and physically and emotionally safe. And he did. He saw me through and called me to be a missionary and live overseas for 14 years. So God touched my life strongly, even with my mom's precious life. Mm-hmm. Let me back up. She, in her own life, when we were children, daily read the Bible to us nightly, even after our father abandoned us with six children for her to tend to. And we prayed together nightly, and those seeds were deeply embedded in our lives, so that five of the six of us all came to Christ the very day of my father's tragic death. We turned to Jesus because we heard the message that God will save you and deliver you and never forsake you. He will be with us at all times. And that meant something deeply to us, a sense of identifying himself with us.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you for sharing that, Brenda. You know, and Susanna, you can chime in, but so when a person comes to Christ, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The devil cannot, you can't be demon-possessed if you're a true believer in Jesus, but you can be demon-oppressed. You can be demonized. I mean, the devil doesn't just give up once you become a Christian. He still wants to steal and kill and destroy. And so, I think with... you know, you have people that Elijah got depressed. It wasn't from a demon necessarily, but then you have Saul, who is tormented by an evil spirit from the Lord. And so I know that Charles Spurgeon dealt with bouts of depression, one of the greatest preachers who ever lived. And so the Lord can allow those things to come into our lives. But just as you said, Susanna, that's for a purpose, to drive us to him, to draw us to him. And he is ultimately the healer.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, you know, I think I was a part of this prayer call one time, and they were praying for different people who, you know, had different ailments or physical or spiritual or emotional. And they were praying, you know, it was like, in the name of Jesus, depression, be gone. In the name of Jesus, anxiety, be gone. And there's a place, like we were talking about at one of the breaks, I believe firmly in spiritual warfare. And there with the demonic, and there's a time for demonic deliverance. But depression, most often depression, it's not like Shazam, be gone. Right. You know, it's start by taking a nap. You know, yes. Sometimes with these young, it's just, we need sleep.
Right.
And then eat a good meal, eat healthy, a healthy meal, move your body, get in God's word, let him retrain your thoughts and your mind, meet with a counselor. If it's biological, maybe you need medication for a season or a time, but learning to look at you as a whole person and not just be gone and not being fresh. I felt so much shame and condemnation for so many years because I struggled with depression. I thought, what is wrong with me?
Right.
And it kept me from really going on a journey to learn how to deal with it. But just learning how to treat yourself as a whole person, but you have to deal with that component of time with the Lord and intimacy with the Lord.
Yeah. Well, I know that when Debbie and I first got married, she was taking a birth control pill, and she hated taking that because it changed her moods, and she would get very irritable. And not only did she hate it, I hated it. Because it wasn't a lot of fun. So I appreciate that call, Brenda. And we are down to the last minute. Linda, I'm sorry we're not going to be able to take your call. We just don't have enough time, but I appreciate you calling in. Hey, Susanna, tell our listeners how they can connect with you.
So you can find me on my website, susannabaker.com, or on Instagram at baker.susanna. And I have all sorts of free tools, prayer guides on my website. You can download all my Bible studies and books are on Amazon, find them on my website, but I'd love to connect with you and help you in your journey, whoever you are, of connecting with the Lord.
Yeah, and she's available to speak at churches and do conferences and things like that. Well, Susanna, thanks so much for coming on today. God bless you and your wonderful family.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.